Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. Welcome, everyone, as you always are, on Fridays, live, Pacific Standard Time, 11 a.m., here on the couch with me, on the country's most irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk radio station, LA Talk Radio. You know, guys, I'm not a financial expert like my guest today. But something I really discovered in working with patients is, you know, in a lot of cases, people's depression and anxiety, OCD, fears, and, you know, a whole slew of other problems totally affects the way they approach their financial issues and the way they live. I mean, you know, when you think about it, it kind of makes sense that if we haven't healed the emotional wounds from our childhood that really actually do, for real, continue to control our adult lives. Really, really. That the way we conduct our lives as adults really does affect many aspects of our life. You know, think about it, whether it's our relationships or our work habits, you know, dealing with the coworkers, the way we live, and especially the way we think and manage our finances. So my guest today, Peggy Burdick, known as the Financial Whisperer. I love that. She founded Home Loans for Women. It's a mortgage company specializing in helping women in bankruptcy reclaim their homes. She's also the author of three excellent books, by the way. And what's really cool when you think about it is we have to look at ourselves and our lifestyle and the way we conduct ourselves. I mean, think about it. I don't know about where you are listening from out there in the country or internationally. But if you live in a metropolitan city like Los Angeles here, you know, we're in chaos a lot. First of all, because we spend most of the time in our cars, unlike other cities. And we're crazed. It's always crowded. We always have to get to appointments. Social media, get with it. Take those cell calls. Don't do those texts while driving. But, I mean, we're constantly working and communicating and always having to be on it, you know. So the thing is the way we conduct our lives, whether we're always pressured or anxious or if we have depression we're not expressing or, you know, if we're in chaos, that's another biggie. Many people I see, their lives are in chaos, you know. So we have to really learn how to get a handle on all those things, you know, before we can begin to kind of settle down and be cool about our finances and the way we want to live. And that's kind of what we're talking about today with my special guest. It's really about thinking about changing your life. And as I said, a lot of patients who come in to see me, you know, they've got these issues wherever they came from, many of them from childhood and upbringing. As I always say, I hate to blame mommy and daddy or the caregivers, but hey, that's where we're imprinted when we grow up. That's the information we get in terms of who we are, our identity, and our relationship to the outside world and how we need to survive and maybe manipulate others in order to get what we want. Come on, it's a survival brain. That's what the little ones do, don't you know? So, I mean, we've all done it. And again, it's called survival techniques, which is really true. And that's it. Now, before we get into my special guest today, I want to remind you guys, you can email me if you have any questions or comments. Well, while I'm live on the air, my email address, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Just let me know if you have questions or comments for my special guest, Peggy. Or if you'd like to call, we'll take some callers, if you'd like to do that. Only if you'd like. Some people don't like to get their voice on the air. They're a little shy. And so that's why I usually offer the emails. But the number here is 323-203-0815 in the greater Los Angeles area. 323-203-0815. And, you know, again, we're talking about Peggy Burdick and how she understands and helps women really get in touch with their emotions, which controls almost every aspect of their lives, whether it's money, relationships, health, jobs, bodies. And Peggy shows women how their current behaviors are actually symbols and metaphors for feelings that were cemented, really, by the time we were 5 years old, most all of us. By the way, Peggy has weekly workshops here in Los Angeles, private sessions that can be in person or over the phone. And by the way, let me just throw this in. For you guys listening, I have a lot of guy listeners out there who write me. This is, of course, also going to apply to you, how you conduct your life and manage your emotional stuff. Of course, it also affects how you manage your money issues. Now, don't get me wrong, by the way. Some of the wealthiest people out there who have amazing financial portfolios have some of the worst emotional issues. It's because they inherited it. Anyway, so I just thought I'd throw that out there. Now, I'm going to get a lot of nasty emails saying, you're wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. I worked all my life and I'm healthy. Okay, good for you. That's wonderful. But anyway, the whole thing about wealthy folks having issues, that's a whole other show. So today we're talking about Peggy's book. It's called It's Never About the Money, Even When It's Untangible. You know, I mean, even when it is. It's never about the money, even when it is. And it's really how to untangle all your emotions from your money. We got Peggy up on the line, I believe. Peggy, hi, how are you?
Oh, yeah, I'm well.
It's so nice to have you.
Thank you for inviting me to spread the word.
Hey, you know what? I loved your book. And I'm telling you, I have never read a book that meshes the concepts of psychology with how folks manage their money and think about their finances. But you nailed it. I mean, it was really good.
But that's what it's not about the money.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the whole point.
Right.
So to be able to show people really where their financial issues or their other issues that I call collateral damage really come from.
Yeah.
Until they can do that, they're always going to be repeating the same patterns and behaviors.
Yes. Exactly. So let's get a little deeper because you're a mortgage financial specialist, creator of, I love your handle, girl. I love the I love the financial whisperer. You know, that's so cool. But you say that, again, the financial issues that we struggle with today, they're not really only about dollars and cents. That's what you say. It's about deeper, older stuff that we've carried with us since our youth. So can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Sure.
Great.
So first let's look at a baby's brain.
Mm-hmm.
The interior part of the brain gets developed first. That's where all your feelings are.
Mm-hmm.
As the brain develops further, cognitive thought, rationalization, all of that external piece comes second. So it would make sense that if you wanted to fix something, you'd go to the root. You don't go to the symptom of the problem. You go to the core of the problem.
Hmm.
That's why I say to people, there are three things that we do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We feel, we think, we act.
Mm.
The problem is most people, and I'm sorry, but it's true, most men, and really, they really get the shaft in
sure.
the society. They're cut off from their feelings.
Well, that's so true, a lot of them. Yeah.
Right?
No, right.
And a lot of people then don't know how to employ the middle one, which is think.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually, most women, we go from feelings to behavior.
Right.
As opposed to feel it, identify it, get the source of the feeling, then sit with yourself, and this can just take seconds and decide the best course of action.
Right.
And then you have, you know, behavior that follows that.
Yeah.
So to be able to get people to understand those connections, mm-hmm. that's where all the power is.
Yes.
I pick money because that was my issue. Everything that I write about, everything that I write, that I blog about or talk about,
yeah.
is my personal experience. But the irony of it is, grandiose as it sounds, it's everybody's experience. Everybody struggles with exactly the same issues. They have a different journey, but the root of it is always the same for all of us.
Yes.
So for me, it was going to be money that I expressed my angst in. It wasn't weight. It wasn't certain kinds of addictions.
Mm-hmm.
It was strictly about money.
Right.
So when I was able to, what happened to me is I came to this, my own personal financial cliff.
Yes.
It was the intersection. Intersection,
yes.
to go left or right. You cannot stay in
right.
that sector, right?
No, exactly.
So I, out of fear of living on the street, mm-hmm. I forced myself to get help.
Good for you. And
yeah.
and so what you did is you got a lot of your issues worked out. Right, is what I'm assuming you went. And I love hearing about specialists and authors' own personal stories as to why they write, you know, their books.
Yeah.
But that's wonderful. You're a great inspiration, Peggy, because, I mean, you
oh,
did.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, no, you did. You sometimes, you know, they say they really stress it a lot in AA, and this has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But, I mean, they say, you know, when you hit bottom, you have nowhere to go but up. But some people choose to stay down there and choose to continue those same old unresolved issues and continue to be in, you know, financial chaos, right?
But it is a choice.
Yeah.
People can choose to be awake or to be asleep.
Yep. That's so
right?
true.
And, right, so that's, I'm sure we're going to dig into that a little bit later.
Yeah.
But to go back to your original question, is that the damage that we all walk around with really exists in three time frames, our past, our present, and the future.
Oh, yeah.
So what happens, right, when we are seemingly in the present, mm-hmm. what's really controlling us
yeah.
is trapped feelings, as you said earlier, in our childhood that never got resolved. So they're going to show up today, and of course money is a metaphor,
yeah.
it can be a metaphor.
Yes.
It's going to show us the way we manage our clothing, our car, our children, everything that's relational
right.
is going to show up
right.
as a reflection of that inner old damage.
Mm-hmm. No, it's so true, and it's profound.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, it really
yeah.
does. By the way, in case you guys just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Peggy Burdick. She is the Financial Whisperer. We're talking about her latest book, It's Never About the Money, Even When It Is, How to Untangle Your Emotions from Your Money. And it's a really good, for me, psychological self-help book. I hate to throw you in that category of self-help, but it's exactly what it is, Peggy, because there's nothing wrong with that, but you give great tools. And that's what I...
Well, I could either ended up in Popular Science Digest with all my tools
there
or
you go.
Self-help.
There you go.
Not too many people out there that want to fix their car, want to fix their head, but that's okay.
No, okay. That's right. But I mean, popular financial tools, you know, that's the deal. But again, like
uh-huh.
you said, working through yourself. And one thing that what I really like is right out the bat at the beginning of the book, you're talking about getting to the point of what we need to work on. And a lot of people, you know, we can go through some books where, you know, we don't get to the point yet. Come on. throw me a bone here. But what you do is you talk right away about this fear of abandonment that kind of starts
mm-hmm.
out and distorts our reality in life. So
mm-hmm.
can you share a little bit more about what you mean?
Well, here's one of the things I point out in the book is how we all live with these survival systems, and I call them the two-track concept: who we are authentically and who we had to adapt ourselves to be in order to survive our childhood. So that starts really, really early.
Mm.
But my feeling and thinking is that you get abandoned once when you come out of the birth canal. I mean, you, let's face it, you are in the ultimate hotel. You're around-the-clock room service.
That's right, girl.
You're, right? It's clean. I think you're having a great time. You're nice and cozy, yeah. And there's a slight movement all the time. So this, like, feels okay.
Yeah.
But one day, nature comes in, taps the watch, and goes, hey, it's time to go. And you're going, no, I'm not ready yet.
Right.
Nature's like, we have someone else that needs the space.
Yes.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
Right? And the that's a real shock.
Yeah. Yeah,
right, it's like coming
true.
Out of a heated pool, and you're in Colorado there in February.
Right? Great
so
metaphor.
That doesn't feel so good.
Yeah,
right?
No kidding.
So what happens is that then it's the mother's responsibility to be the bridge, mm-hmm. the transition, to take that child from where she was into the physical world, and mothers should be doing it in a certain fashion to make the child feel safe, mm-hmm. to create the bonding that's so critical mm-hmm. for the child, to develop trust. And everything, Michelle, comes down to trust.
Oh, God, yeah.
There's not one person that you see or that I see, but if you ask enough questions, it's a lack of trust of themselves, of their mother. And that's really where all the problems start. So what happens is that gets imprinted. And then for the rest of our lives, if we don't get a handle on it, that is one of the driving forces, is to avoid being abandoned because we don't feel that we can cope on our own emotionally. Mm. We're still 4 years old.
Yes.
And in fact, we're 24 years old.
Yeah.
We have tons of skills to survive.
Yeah. Right. So we still have these feelings of, oh my gosh, I can't, and we'll get into this in a little bit, but I can't, trust people, or I have to keep my defenses up, or I have to act in certain ways.
Right.
And that's the adapt way, as you suggest, because, you know, we come out authentically as these little souls looking, okay, who's running things? Help me, you know?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Where's my cereal?
Right? That's right. So it's kind of like, okay. But, you know, if that environment is, you know, chaotic, like you said, or there's not much trust, or, you know, and again, I've talked about this a lot on my shows, but if the caregivers, you know, it starts really with mom, but I mean, if both caregivers and or who they may be, grandfather, grandmother, aunts, you know, uncles, whoever, the caregivers are not really in touch with who they are or have their acts together emotionally, the little people are going to be feeling unloved and, oh my God, I better adapt my personality to the way that, you know, they're looking at me or expressing themselves towards me. So, you know. So what also is really cool, Peggy, is you're devoting each chapter to, like, different parts of our personalities and and dispositions and the behaviors to really help the readers move along and understand their unique identity. And that's what you say is the key. So let's talk about those feelings of helplessness and depression a little bit more. And how do they connect to our issues with money?
What really is depression, right? What depression is I truly believe, and there's tons of studies, and I'm sure you're really familiar with all of this, is that depression, for the most part, is suppressed or repressed anger. Mm. And what is that about, really? But if you drill down underneath that, it's going to be the feelings of helplessness, hopelessness. And what is that really about? It's the perception of a lack of power.
Yes.
And this goes on all day long with everybody. Yeah. I don't care who they are. I had this episode this morning driving in.
Yeah.
A man at the post office would say, they lost some mail for me.
And no.
Like, what? And there's no way, unless there's a tracking, there's no way for you to recover the lost mail.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But anyway, the point is that people sometimes don't really look at, and part of my book addresses this, is that depression, I feel, is a destination.
Yes.
It's something that we learn really early and it enables someone to hide because the need they have to protect themselves is like a turtle.
Sure.
They have to withdraw into their shell.
Right.
And everyone perceives them as being unavailable, and they say, oh, they attach a word to it, it's depression. And then the person plays into it because the downside they've learned of being authentic and being themselves got punished, early on in those early years. So that's part of the adaption drive is, well, I will be different. But meanwhile, the sadness and the feeling of not being accepted is so powerful.
Yes.
I don't know if you know Susan Piver. Susan Piver has written several books, and she's written a testimonial for my book, but she wrote a book called How Not to Be Afraid of Your Own Life.
Yes.
And probably about the second page, she gets right to the point. She says, you know, everyone, when the child comes out of the birth canal, what do they want? Warmth, closeness, and acceptance.
Right.
My
right.
father is 98.
Oh.
He wants the same three things.
That's right.
So do you.
That's
so
right.
So do me.
That's right.
So do me.
So it's
do
true.
I.
No, it's true.
So what happens is that that gets ignored. But that's a driving force for all of us,
mm-hmm.
all of us. So the person who's depressed, they don't feel accepted.
Yes.
They can't be who they are, so they are going to withdraw, and it makes them angry.
Sure.
Really angry, because they're being rejected on the most profound level.
Right. It's true.
So that's the root of it.
That makes so much sense, Peggy. And also, you know, a little part, and you're into the brain and the science and all that, as evidenced by some of the stuff in your book here. But it's really true that sometimes we inherit that, too. You know, we inherit the genetics of anxiety or depression, and that compounds the situation, you know, of feeling abandoned or, you know, and we're, oh, boy, it's a tough road ahead sometimes. So your book is nice because it helps folks.
The sad part about it is that the increase in antidepressants is shocking.
Oh, yeah.
There was a statistic I was reading in the Harvard Medical Journal that since between 2005 and 2008, there's a 400% increase in adults, and 23% of them are women in their 40s and 50s. Now, what is that about?
Yeah.
That's anger over not having power. Mm. They believe they don't have it for a whole range of reasons.
Right.
But until they step aside from that and really look at their own world and take their own responsibility to go on their journey of self-discovery, they're always going to be the victim. They're
That's
the one to
so
do the work.
True. That's so true. You know, and there, and also, as you point out later in your book that we'll talk about, too, just, you know, on that, we really, there are a lot of things we absolutely cannot control, like your mail that didn't show up.
Right.
They messed up, right? But, I mean, it carries with us. We could choose to hang on to that or recontact the folks who, you know, mailed us and say, look, this is what happened. It didn't come through. It may come back to you, but it may be somewhere out there in the mail abyss. You know, so, or the trash can. So, you know, learning how to roll with, you know, with what we can and can't control is such an important point. And guys, if you want to email me here on LA Talk Radio, it's straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. I'm talking to a special guest today. She's awesome. She's the financial whisperer. It's Peggy Burdick. She's actually written, what, three books now, right, Peggy? And more.
I have.
And
three is where I am. And the latest book is available on my website. It is available at Amazon. And it's also available, I think, in a Kindle version.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's out there, and it's good. It's thefinancialwhisperer.com, by the way, folks. Thefinancialwhisperer.com. Read all about her. The book's called It's Never About the Money, Even When It Is, How to Untangle Your Emotions from Your Money. And because Peggy is a financial whisperer and has helped hundreds of thousands of people with her books and, oh my gosh, all of your articles in every magazine on the planet, you know, your classes as well. You're really going to learn a lot about yourself and your issues and how they really do mesh with a lot of the way you deal with your finances and look at your finances and your worthiness to really have a nice living, which we'll talk about too. And, you know, you were talking about depression and, you know, helplessness and all that. And they kind of go hand in hand with unworthiness and low self-esteem, which you talk about in the book as well. Right, Peggy?
Mm-hmm.
They're very similar. So let's look at working through some of our fears and anger. Okay. You talk about awareness and compassion. So how do we get there? What are some of the ways in which we can get to our awareness and compassion?
Well, again, it goes back to making a choice.
Yeah.
If we choose to pay attention, it's kind of cheek and jowl. What goes with that is accountability.
Yes.
because I'm sure you saw about the roadmap. The roadmap is the holy grail. Mm-hmm. It's the only way to solve a problem. Mm-hmm. The roadmap, for your listeners, it's four stations. Mm-hmm. And the first station is going to be keeping your commitments to yourself, not to other people necessarily, but to yourself.
Yeah.
The second stop on this train trip is going to be self-respect.
Mm-hmm.
The third stop is going to be trust. And the last stop is going to be love.
Mm.
Now, the key piece for people is to build their self-respect.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only build your self-respect if you're really, really honest with yourself. And a lot of people... So let's talk about the people that want this, okay?
Right.
They really, right? So what happens is that in order for you to have the awareness, you have to go through these different steps because
right.
it's going to make you accountable in that particular moment. You live your life. Remember earlier I said it's the past, present, and future.
Mm-hmm.
You live your life in the present.
Right. Exactly.
Right? You can't, the future depends on the present.
Sure.
What you do now, you will feel later.
Right.
So if you want to feel respect and you want to learn to have trust for yourself, mm-hmm. you got to start with the basics in terms of keeping your commitments to yourself.
Mm.
And I have this wacky tool I invented called a respectometer.
It's cool. I like it.
Because the consciousness is that in this particular moment, let's say I've decided to lose 20 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm walking down the street, 3:00 in the afternoon, my blood sugar is dropping, I'm hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's Ben and Jerry's across the street.
Oh, yeah.
And in front of me, you know, is Bristol Farms.
Okay.
Now, Bristol Farms, I can buy an apple.
Yeah.
And Ben and Jerry's, I bet, don't have any fruit.
Yeah.
So I have a choice.
Yeah.
Do I want to keep my commitment to losing weight, or am I not?
Right.
So that's where the respectometer is. In that finite moment, I get to make a choice.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because if I don't get the apple and I get the ice cream instead, I just lost respect for myself. And I have to be accountable and say, whoa, what'd you
yeah.
do here?
Yeah.
That's where the compassion comes in and goes, hey, what'd you do? And I'm like, well, you know, my five-year-old, I even have this, whatever she's complaining about.
Yeah.
And the compassion piece is your adult saying, look, take my hand. Okay.
Yes, yes.
So you know what you do is eat half the ice cream and throw it away.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You can gain that respect back if you eat, like, take two tablespoons of the ice cream and then let's go get an apple.
Yes.
So you can catch yourself in that arc.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But then some people are just, they're angry, they're upset, whatever's going on with them, their responsibility is to stand still and take a reading.
Yes.
And let me explain with them. And the reading, if you saw this piece in the book, is really the four colors that we go through when we have a mood shift.
Right.
I stole this from Homeland Security, not realizing it's actually a chakra concept.
Oh, wow. How cool.
But,
yes, yes.
But these four colors, you got blue, which is nice and calm and everyone's happy.
Yep.
However, when our mood shifts, whatever reason, it doesn't matter, but it shifts to yellow, which means, whoa, the merry-go-round has stopped.
Yes.
And if we don't get in touch with it, by asking ourselves, hey, what are you feeling? It goes to orange.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
That's not good. And then it goes to red, and then we have a meltdown.
Yep, that's
so
true.
So if you're getting the ice cream, and you're not paying attention to your little one who's upset about whatever, then she just went right to the orange and yellow, and she's going to do something self-destructive and sabotage the diet commitment.
Yes.
So that's the awareness that we cause, the bubble that we live in all the time, and we choose to work with it or not.
Yep, exactly. And that's where you come in with your book here, how you can choose how people can really work through some of their issues and look at those things about self-respect, taking responsibility, you know, and that kind of thing. Peggy, we have an email that just came in here, and I think it's pertinent. I think we have a lot of emails here, but this one kind of nails what we were talking about a little earlier, and I think Emma here was responding to what you said earlier. She said, great show. Yay. Thanks, Emma. I grew up in a home with a lot of chaos. My parents always argued there was a lot of screaming and yelling. My older sister got out of the house as soon as possible. She was always the rebel, but I am, comma, as my friends call me, the people pleaser. I can't make up my mind about anything and always go with what everybody else wants from me. How can I get out of this cycle? Well, That's a great, great question. Thank you.
It is. And Emma, you know, great question and great that you can identify all the moving pieces.
Oof, yeah.
It starts really with, I think you should go to my site, the bottom of my site, I give away these healing tools.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's an area called a footer. And you pull up the three tools, and again, there's the map, and there's the respectometer. The key for you, and this is hard for everybody, is to let go.
Mm.
Let go of the need. That's what drives all of us, the need to make somebody happy. Because the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter what you do. Everyone in your household is narcissistic.
Mm.
They're doing their own thing.
Yeah.
You probably felt invisible growing up. Your needs are ignored. And you're trying to recapture it. Well, reality check is you can't. You can do it for yourself, but not externally from these other people.
Yes.
But you've got to learn to be able to take your little girl, sit with her.
Yes.
Be patient, because your feelings need to get respected. And
yeah.
So what happens when you give yourself, when you make a self-commitment to something, that's where your little one has a chance to sabotage your commitment.
Yes.
Ah, okay, yes, right?
Yes.
So what you do do with her is you feel it and you stop. Don't ignore it. You sit with her. You put her on your lap. You put your arms around her like you're in a rocking chair. Let's say she's, you know, like four. And when you do that, your lips are pretty much where her ear is. And you just sit with her and you rock.
Mm.
Patience is the most profound statement of love.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter if she's making sense. None of that matters. What matters is your presence.
Yeah.
And what matters is she feels that you're present.
Yes, exactly.
And then it will be, right, because it's feel, think, act.
Yes.
And then when you've been with her enough and she feels safe, then you can think about some options, about what you can do and what you can't do.
Yeah,
exactly. Because then the think is the adult who then steps in and goes, okay, so here's my mother, and my mother is still interrupting every single thing I say. What's my choice? Hit her with a frying pan? No.
Mm-hmm.
Walk out of the room? Maybe. But what about if I just sit there and just kind of listen to her and let go of my need for her approval?
Yes.
Wow, that's pretty powerful.
Whoa,
and
it is.
And you practice that, right? So that's what you do. You then deal with your mother, but meanwhile, there's a glass piece that you have put up between your mother and you get to see your mother from a different perspective because you know you have control.
Yes.
When you're a people pleaser, you don't have control. You've given your control away to the outside world.
Yes, exactly. Wow. That is so right.
And I'll tell you, Emma, go to my site.
Yeah.
Send me an email. I'll send you the book for free.
Oh, you're a doll.
Any people that come to you, Michelle, that want to know more, I will absolutely send them the PDF book for free.
You're the best, Peggy. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And thank you, Emma, for having the courage to email us. We have a couple of more coming in, but I want to, you know, get to more questions, you know, about your latest book so we can get people, you know, really squared away here today.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do it in 50 minutes, but hey, we'll try. So, you know what we do a lot of times is we practice behaviors that you call, and I love that phrase, is emotional extortion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like being passive aggressive, like you just talked about the people pleasers, or the mm-hmm. more, you know, kind of negative things, like the rejectors, people who are always mm-hmm. angry and very defensive all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So why do we get so nasty and angry? This is kind of as opposed to the people pleaser folks. Why do we get, why are we those folks that are hard to be around?
Here's the irony.
Yeah.
They are just the opposite sides of the same coin.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Everybody is cranky. Everybody doesn't get their needs met as children.
Yep.
But how they choose to manage those feelings,
mm-hmm,
again,
mm-hmm.
is what we feel,
yep.
In their adult life, then changes the way they interact with society. You have people that are incredibly grandiose.
Mm. Yes.
That's the opposite side of someone that acts like they have no self-esteem and they're victims.
Yep.
It's all the same. So when we, again, take a step back and witness someone being that way, But we have the power if we contain ourselves. We can't control them. We can't control their behaviors, but we can control how we interact with them.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why, let's switch people. Let's say it's me, okay?
Yeah.
Now, if I'm angry and I am constantly being aggressive with other people and kind of mowing over all of them all of the time, what is the part going on with me?
Yeah.
What would be going on with me is that my feelings were never validated and celebrated as a child.
Yes.
So that distortion of how I was, in this case, mistreated, can show up later in a whole bunch of different forms.
Right. Right.
Again, what does Susan Piper say? Babies come out of the birth canal happy.
Yeah, that's exactly
And you
right.
said it earlier,
yeah.
Michelle. You said, hey, you know, this little soul is born. He's innocent. He's happy. It's our needs for whatever to form and force that child into being something that they're not.
Oh,
that
God,
makes them angry.
Boy,
and that's going to show up later.
That is so true in a whole bunch of different ways. And you are the financial whisperer, and it really does show up out there in the world. You know, in terms of how you manage your money and what you feel you deserve and how you want to step up to the plate, take responsibility and work for those things as well. Not in a, judgmental kind of way, guys. come on now. One of those other typical behaviors of emotional extortion you talk about, which is common that I hear about in my practice with patients, is guilt. You know, and we all play it, baby.
What really is guilt?
Yeah.
And people confuse guilt and shame.
Right.
I'm sure you get a ton of people talking about shame. Because shame is the quintessential emotion.
Right.
That's the core of everything. Mm. It's the core of violence, the core of aggression.
Yes.
It's the opposite of love.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're talking about guilt, first of all, let's separate what guilt and shame are.
Okay.
Guilt is usually the result of an action.
Right.
Shame is integral to who you are as a person.
Mm, true.
When you feel shame, it's who you are intrinsically that's being rejected.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas guilt means you've done something, let's say goofy,
and it
hurts somebody or it hurts you, and had you thought it through, you were grounded, you probably wouldn't have done it.
Right. Okay. So if...
And it's a lack of... it's a lack of boundaries.
Yes.
Because when you hear people say, my mother's playing a guilt trip on me, or you have Catholic guilt or Jewish guilt, whatever the thing is, because you choose to take it. It's like a yoke around your neck. You don't have to accept that.
That's
just
so
because
true.
That person's feeling it and trying to manipulate you doesn't mean you have to receive it.
Right, exactly. And we sometimes learn that when we're adults, unfortunately. But the thing is that doesn't that constant guilt sort of segue into a feeling of shame because we incorporate it into who we are, right?
If you choose to.
Yeah.
You can choose to incorporate it. Or you can put boundaries up and separate. As soon as you know who you are, that automatically tells you where the other person ends and where you begin.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're clear about that and you're comfortable with your feelings and comfortable with your identity, then you don't have those issues.
Mm-hmm. It's so true.
But when people refuse to do the work to learn about themselves, then they're always, the door is always open.
Exactly.
Someone's going to creep in and make you feel crummy.
Right. Wow, that's so right on, Peggy. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on LA Talk Radio on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Peggy Burdick. She's the financial whisperer, and we're talking about her latest book. It's a good one. It's really great psychological help here and intertwined with the way you kind of feel about yourself and the way you work through your issues will help with your financial issues as well. They're both connected. The book's called It's Never About the Money, Even When It Is, How to Untangle Your Emotions from Your Money. And we're talking about, Peggy has seven typical behaviors of emotional extortion. And the one that I hear, and we talked about this at the beginning of the show, Peggy, but when I see couples, and I don't want to be sexist, okay? But a lot of the women complain that their better half, when they're heterosexual couples, they don't listen to them. They're apathetic. They're not able to come forth with their feelings. You know, they just can't respond and be there and all that. And this is one of those, emotional, extortion issues that you talk about, just kind of removing one's presence, and that that's a biggie too. And it's very hard to, isn't it hard to teach people how to be more empathetic if they're apathetic? Right?
Well, here's the thing is, it's a choice. First of all, when you're dating somebody, all of the information is available to you if you choose to see it. How many times do you hear a divorced person saying to you, oh, well, it came out of nowhere. They came home one day, and so it's over. Really?
Right.
Or I don't know what happened. They changed, and they can't stand their divorced partners.
Mm-hmm.
All those are telltale signs that the person who's talking to you was not clear,
right,
was not in touch. I mean,
right.
People, for the most part, don't change.
Yes.
So if someone's uncommunicative when you're dating,
right,
it doesn't get better when you get married. It gets worse.
Right.
But you get to make that choice. If you're not clear about who you are, then it gets really muddy. I've been married twice, and I am absolutely guilty to not thinking it through because, again, my needs were dictating what to do.
Yes.
So, of course, I listened to my needs. I gave in to all of that, and, of course, I ended up later with pie in my face. but that was my choice, and I married lovely men and really lovely, lovely guys, but there were pieces missing that I didn't have the courage to really explore with them.
Yes.
So I got basically what I married, which is someone who was unavailable emotionally.
Right. And that, God, thank you for sharing that, Peggy. I mean, that's, it's really true for many of us, It's just, it's not being aware. And that's a tough thing, because sometimes when we're in a relationship at the beginning, we're in the honeymoon stage and all's wonderful.
Right,
and the fireworks and the sparks. Yeah, exactly.
A lot of it is a fantasy, especially if you want kids. You have this, you're brought up with this, fairy tale mentality. Thank you, Disney. We have to then sort it out later. And we don't come from a culture where it breeds accountability and trust and all of those really emotional issues. It's quite the opposite. It's like, take a pill, be the victim, blame somebody else for whatever. It's like, really? Where were you when this was going on? Well, and you have rationalization.
Yeah.
That's really what our society, for the most part, is made up of.
Exactly. Wow. So good. Hey, we have another email. I thought I'd just kind of point to this one right now because it's a good one. And I think it applies to what we're talking about as well, Peggy. Shall we give it a go? This is from Shane. I believe it's a male. I can't seem to go through a day without worrying about what other people think of me at work or out there at parties, social situations, or when I'm dating. Things like that. I know I'm pretty smart, he says, and some women have said I'm good looking. The point is I'm always giving in to a lot of friends and usually end up with the bill. I hate myself for being such a people pleaser, but I really care about what people think of me. How can I get over this?
Well, I mean, this is identical to what Emma said before.
Yes.
That you, Shane, you have to make a choice of going on a journey of learning about who you are and letting go of the need to please people because it doesn't work anyway, and it's expensive.
Thank you.
You get stuck with the bill,
right?
Because you're probably afraid that if you say, okay, let's split it seven ways, that you're afraid everyone's going to say, oh, boy, what a cheapskate, as opposed to they're being presumptuous that you should pay for it. That's not fair and reasonable. But if you choose to allow people to treat you that way, they will.
Yes. They sure
right?
will,
so
exactly.
You get, I'd love to know, Shane, what you've done up until now, what you've read, what you've participated in to get to know yourself better, because that's the key. If you don't put that energy into doing it, then you're going to be having the same complaint next year at this time, year after that. You're going to allow it to happen. You can't cry victim.
Right.
If you have the information in front of you, then you have a choice to take it. Or not.
That's right. Well said, Peggy. Thank you so much. And thank you, Shane, for being so open, you know, again, about stuff going on in your life. And we appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people I do see, you know, they're always worried about, ooh, how did I come off in that situation? You know, not just mm-hmm. the average, how did I come off in a mm-hmm. job interview that we all feel, mm-hmm. but, oh, my God, what is that person thinking of me across the room? And did I say something stupid? Or that's horrible to live in that place. And, you know, Shane, you might want to look at who gave you those messages that you kind of had to walk on eggshells all the time about who you were and how you looked and how you behaved and how you know what was it that made you feel so suppressed and why did you have to do that. And like Peggy said, it's time for you to step on out and become your own man, draw some boundaries with folks and really be good, really focus on those things. You say, what do you say here? Something about, you know, you're pretty good looking. People have told you that and that you're pretty smart at work. So focus on that stuff.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing. Shane, yeah. I bet you don't feel attractive.
Yeah.
People, it's the external. People tell you you're handsome. People probably tell you very lovely and you're mm-hmm. nice and you're kind and all of that. But unless you feel it inside, it's just wrapping paper.
God, yeah.
There's a great expression. I wish I had invented this. It's like it's none of your business what other people think of you.
Boy, is that a good one.
No, a good
it's
one?
A great one.
Yeah.
It's really true.
Yeah.
So, again, Shane, thanks for reaching out, and we really appreciate it. And don't forget, guys, that this show will be up in the archives starting tomorrow. Engineer will put up all the information about how you can find out more about Peggy and get her books. in the archives, probably on Sunday, they'll be available for you. But if you, you know, just tuned in and you'd really like to review a lot of what we said, it would behoove you to replay, download the show because it's you've got a lot of goodies to work with here. And I know you all want that because that's why you're here on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest, Peggy Burdick. And she's the author of a great new book. We're talking about, and it's not only about getting help and working through your issues, but it's really because she is the financial whisperer, you know, figuring out how your opinions about money, the way you live basically and spend, really are connected with those issues that you haven't resolved yet. Book's called It's Never About the Money, Even When It Is: How to Untangle Your Emotions from Your Money. So if you would like other folks to find out more about you, Peggy, can you share also the titles of your other books you've written as well so people can who are really into, you know, getting their mortgage information together or any other kind of financial help?
Well, those books aren't published, but one of them was A Mother's Guide to Teaching Her Children About Money.
Beautiful.
And the mortgage book was What Every Woman Needs to Know
yes.
About Getting a Mortgage.
Yes.
But I did. But those are not available on Amazon.
Perfect.
But I certainly am, you know, chock full of suggestions and advice. If people want to email me or go to my website and sign up, they'll get a free chapter of the book and get on my newsletter, and I blog for The Daily Worth. So, yeah, those are great ways to get hold of you, Michelle.
Perfect. Those are great ways to get a hold of you and find out more. And also, you know, you can see a lot of Peggy's articles. She's been in every magazine on the planet here, you know, writing about finances, mortgage help, and also focusing on things such as getting your act together. So
most importantly, getting your act together.
That's exactly right. So you can live your life, you know, in a better way and enjoy all the goodies that you deserve. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about, folks. And again, Peggy, thefinancialwhisperer.com, that's the best way to find you? Is that right?
All right. That's the best way to find me.
All right. And your book, of course, like you said, is on Amazon and everywhere else, by the way, online if you want to find it. But you're cool. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Peggy. I've really enjoyed all your help, and I know the listeners have gotten a lot out of everything you've had to say.
Well, thank you for being so generous to invite me on. I love talking about what I'm an expert at. I love hearing people's stories and questions.
Yeah.
And really, I'm very, very gracious of you to invite me. Thank you.
My pleasure. Keep up the great work,
okay.
And we'll be in touch.
Thanks.
All right.
Okay.
Take good care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, folks, the show will be up in the archives tomorrow here on The Couch with Dr. Michelle. That's, of course, Channel 1 here on LA Talk Radio. All the shows are beautiful and wonderful. But I just want you to know that you can find it tomorrow. All right. This is Dr. Michelle, and thank you, Davy Crockett, for closing the show today. Have a good one. Don't forget to do take care of yourself, because then you'll be great for others. And that's the way it works in the world. Bye-bye.
When we used to burn leaf and put our minds on delay. Okay, now allow us to proceed on a trip to last summer when everything was perfect and green. We used to chill and relax and maybe smoke a fast stack while we laugh about the past, but that's too vast to express how much I love you and all the selfish things you put me through. Well, who am I to judge? I made some stupid choices too. Regardless, I'm just living it up. I'm blind to the negativity. Floating in the golden lotus, that's where I'll be. This experience is such a blessing. Motherfucker, stop asking questions. Your soul knows that this defeats the purpose. Close your eyes and let me be your words. Listen up, y'all, I miss those days. Chilling on the moon with the guitar, spitting phrase. But now, I'm in another day, unconditionally missing y'all.